And it's Thursday morning. It's time for another Tom and Shane podcast. Happy to have you along with us. Thanks for showing up, and we really appreciate it. And today we have, we got one of those interesting interesting things, I should say. Interesting topic anyway, Shane.
Mm-hmm. It is. It really is. I mean, for politics and policy, this one's a wow.
It's a head scratcher, isn't it?
It really is. I find it just fascinating. But take it away there, Captain.
All right. If you're just joining us on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and YouTube, if you're on YouTube, we'd like for you to subscribe, please. Ring the notification bell. You'll always be notified whenever we have another podcast. That's every Tuesday and Thursday at 10 a.m. Mountain Time. And, of course, our topic today, what could be more fun than talking about who's your drug pusher? It's Uncle Sam. It's the United States government. And this just came out a couple of days ago, Shane, San Francisco, I believe, isn't it?
It's a pilot program.
Yeah, it's a pilot program. $30 million of our money they're going to spend to help drug dealers, I forget what it's called, the harm thing or what, something like that. Do no harm.
And of course, the remarkable thing, it comes to the forefront, not from any major outlet, not from major network, but from the Washington Free Beacon, which is like a neighborhood rag.
Yeah.
And, you know, they report this, you know, it slams into the Washington press corps, slams into the presser that they have at the White House, and you know, this great representative of your president, when asked about it, you know, right off the bat starts denying it. No, there's no crack pipes in it, and no, we're not going to do. It's not exactly what you think. We're trying to make it safe, and it's just, I mean, the messaging first of all is horrific. The policy is terrible. I mean, all this. I mean. When you look at the difficulties that exist in your country regarding the homeless, you know, there's 560,000 homeless in your country, growing annually like at 10,000 a year. There's over 100,000 overdoses since 1999. 1.2 million people in your country have died from overdoses. Fentanyl's been the worst. The opioids were really bad from 99 to about 2012, 13, and then you know, the Chinese started, you know, that illicit opportunity with the Mexicans to start, you know, tampering with the heroin market in your country. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, everything we've reported for 10 years has been nothing but sad, sad, sad. And no government relief in a program or a policy that does anything to relieve it.
Yeah. Well, that's the issue that everybody can't understand. Why are we helping these folks do drugs? You know, I appreciate the fact they're providing them with some, you know, with some alcohol swabs and you know, some lip balm and other things. But $30 million? Are you kidding me?
Well, you know, libertarians have always had the argument that, you know, everything should be free. People have free choice, and you can decide on your own. Except addiction's a terrible thing. We know that from 1,000 years of alcoholism. And, of course, that's never really been resolved either. But the interesting aspect is, unlike alcoholism, this is something that pharmacists and doctors could oversee and provide. I mean, if you're going to go to this length, at least provide, medicines or drugs, whatever you want to call them, in a style that's reminiscent of anyone with, you know, diabetes or other issues that they have to have, where you go and see a doctor and he prescribes and the pharmacist explains to you what to do. And there's a protocol that you follow. You know, Denmark and other countries in Europe have tried this and it's worked. It's not a good thing, but they found that people, even heroin addicts, can actually have a managed life, go to work, go home and get high, and, you know, wake up and go back to work again. But there's all kinds of studies that out there that show you know, the other biggest problem that you have about this is the people that are homeless want to be Thomas. They don't want to be part of society.
Mm-hmm. Well, having been homeless at one point in my life, I will tell you, it's not a bad life. There's always a food somewhere. You know, there's always a soup kitchen. There's always a church. There's always something. You don't have to pay taxes. You don't have to go to work. You can lay around all day and just kind of take it easy. And, you know, it's, you don't have a TV or, you know, caviar. But other than that, it's
not the worst. Well, to them it is. To them, they think that the drugs are caviar to them. And that's why they.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
But, you know, they get the benefit depending on where they live. Like California, no issues really with the weather unless it's fire season. Yeah. And, you know, but other parts of the country where it's cold, like Montana or BC, I mean, what happens to these people in the winter is it's quite horrific because they can provide collective ability to care for people with COVID. It may be difficult in overcrowding, but they can't provide any kind of protection to people that are homeless. They look at it like they're enabling them if they help. Well, unfortunately, you know, there are those people in the society that need to be helped, even these homeless and addicted people.
Well, the homeless, is getting, we're kind of broadening our horizon here talking about the homeless, but I guess they go hand in hand. But, you look at these major cities and man, they are. The tent cities, down the sidewalk as far as the eye can see. And there's something wrong with that. There can't be that many people that have just dropped out of the system. I think some of them probably have a legitimate beef and would like to work, but a lot of folks, that's the lifestyle. They can't see a way out of it, and they've just adapted their life to that particular thing. So.
Well, and it's clearly that this Biden policy, it's an embarrassment in that it's an endorsement of the collapse of the urban cities in your country run by Democrats. And, you know, to come up with a solution to what's clearly a destructive behavior by politicians and even members of the clergy and everyone involved in, you know, NGOs, non-government organizations in your urban cities, you know, it's out of control and there's no solution. So, well, let's just help it along a little. Let's just make it a little bit easier for it to be out of control.
Yeah, let's just get them all in one place. You know, Amsterdam tried doing that with their needle parks and whatever.
Right.
That was a disaster, man. I mean, it was horrible there. Nobody would go. Nobody would go anywhere near that place.
It hurt their tourism because of it.
Well, it did. Well, it attracted the people who wanted to, buy drugs. But other than that, mom and pop and the kids didn't want to go there too badly. So.
Well, I've had the fortune of being able to travel to a lot of places. And I happened to be in Europe once in early 90s when Amsterdam had legalized, hash.
Mm-hmm.
And they hadn't gotten to the heroin thing yet, but just out of curiosity and having tried it as a kid, I had to go try it. I went into a pub or a bar, whatever you want to call it. Don't speak Dutch, but I mean, and here people were smoking. They had their own pipes and they'd buy their hash from the bartender with their beer and lots of food on the counters because
you got to get the munchies. Yeah,
yeah, right. But the thing was it was good. I mean, it wasn't a blow off type of product, and it worked. Boy, I waggled back to my hotel. I didn't walk in a straight line. I could have been in trouble for being intoxicated walking.
Yeah. Well. I don't know. It's with you, it's hard to tell if you're high or not. So
that's right. It's a constant wonder sometimes with what I say. I appreciate that.
I know that. Yeah. Well, Jen Psaki tried to walk back the safe smoking kits. I guess these are supposedly contain a rubber mouthpiece to prevent cuts and burns. brass screens to filter contaminants and disinfectant wipes. And I didn't say anything whether they have papers in there or not, Shane. I don't know if you get rolling papers or not. But, you know, this whole thing just seems so ridiculously stupid.
Well, it is, because in all these same urban cities that we're talking about, in most of what they need, they just walk into stores and walk out of it. They don't.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting to note that in California, the state provides homeless people with $600 a month, and locales that they live in, they can also get benefits from. And as you pointed out, you know, you, for the most part, food and clothing you can get for free. So basically, whatever money the government will pay you, which they do, mm-hmm. will go towards your habit. Yeah. It's a sad thing. It's such a sad thing. 35, you know, this is 35 to 40 year old, 33%, you know, 18 to 25 mm-hmm. year olds. It's about 12, and 25 to 35 year olds, you know, it's about 40%. So the rest is filtered out as to, you know, what, how old the rest of the people are that are homeless. But it's a wonder in an amazing country with all the opportunities that that mm-hmm. people end up this way on the street. That's the reality. 0.2% of the population find themselves in this situation, and no one to care for them but themselves. And it's amazing.
It is sad, but you know, you would think okay, along with this this do no harm thing or whatever the hell it's called, how about some job training in there for $30 million?
Anything.
Teach them Microsoft Word or Excel or something.
Or how to keep a tent clean, you know, a campsite clean, you know, anything. Like, you know, don't defecate everywhere, you know, you know, find some place reasonable, or, you know, you would think that there would be an effort. Look, remember, we've gone through this now for three things about the police. I don't mean to segue, but I want to use it as an analogy. And we have to change the police, and we want social workers to go out and solve these domestic problems, because 60% of the calls are domestic problems. And we don't need police in there with tasers and spray and, you know, and creating a bit worse. And there's no conversation about social workers helping any of these people.
Yeah.
There's no conversation about, okay, well, we want to take this money from the police, and we're going to put it over here to help the homeless and these drug addicts and schizophrenics and, you know, other people that are on the nothing. It's the quality of policy is really bad. And then, you know, how they portray it, how they explain it, how they set it up, even worse.
Yeah. Well, you know, as I've always said, if a domestic dispute rises to the level of calling the police, the last person you want in there is an unarmed social worker, I would think, you know. I mean, people are going after each other with knives, guns, baseball bats, whatever. And, you know, I think if somebody says, boy, we've got to call the police to stop this, I don't think a social worker is going to come in and say, well, how did your mother treat you? You know?
You're absolutely right. And you'll take notice over the last 2.5 years. Not one police department in one of these democratic urban cities ever decided to go and send people unarmed, unsecured, social worker to any of these calls, because they know what the result would be. You know, it's just one of those things. Let's throw an idea out and see if it sticks to the wall. Well, it doesn't stick to the roof and falls in your face.
Yeah, you SWAT guys wait on the curb. If I need you, I'll call you.
Yeah. When you hear gunshot, come help me.
Come help me. Yeah. Yeah, that's what we need. Yeah, any loud screams, anything like that. Yeah, we need some help. So, but I don't know. I think, I don't know. This thing is just every time the government does something, and I think I've seen it all, Shane. They do something like this. You know, I mean, I don't know, man. We stopped the wall on the southern border. Drugs are pouring in. And I mean, it's just, you know, it's ridiculous. You pointed out with the fentanyl and overdoses, 70,000 a year, something like that, or more, 90,000 overdoses each year, deaths all over the place. And for the government to kind of perpetuate this, or make it easier to do this, even if you're making it safer to do it, you're still helping, you're enabling a behavior you don't want in society.
That's right. And a brilliant guy came up with the 12-step plan for alcoholism. And for most people that follow it, as difficult as it is, they've had like a 30% success rate with it. And it actually was greater, but I was out actually in the 60s, but a lot of people then eventually fell back. But it's successfully gotten 30% off alcohol for a very long time.
Yeah.
But, first it's admitting there's a problem,
Yeah.
The government's good at creating and admitting that there's problems. They just have real bad policy about how to remedy them or even solve them.
Yeah. Do you mind if I light up while we talk about my problem?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I don't know. It's
and the other thing, too, is it is true how a lot of this has come upon people when they were younger. Mm-hmm. Over 70% of these people between the age of seven and 15, found these drugs. And very often it's from someone else, of course. Yeah. But on the inner city, it's a constant thing because it's around you all the time. And it's a generational thing. I mean, we're talking, three, four generations, 60 years, 70, 80 years of drug addiction in these urban cities. And principally because of no work and everyone sees that that's the only way to make money. Yeah. To be involved with a gang or a runner for a gang or, help sell for a gang. And it's a very sad reality and it can all disappear. I mean, we saw what happened with Prohibition, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it was because of Prohibition that the mob grew and urban crime grew. And then when they ended a Prohibition, they'd given enough lift to the mob with the money they'd made to go into other things like gambling and prostitution and so forth. So, it's one of these issues that, being a human being, you're weak and you're frail and you have sometimes a need because of wants that aren't what we would all, a lot of us would say, probably very good. But then to have somebody that provides that for you, that's,
Yeah, very sad. Yeah. Well, as I pointed out, when they legalized marijuana in Colorado and in Washington or Oregon, I guess were the first two places. I thought for a while they had everything was legal in Oregon, heroin, LSD, whatever. I mean, they just went whole hog on that. And as the evidence bears out, illegal drugs in both those states are just as prevalent as anywhere else because, there's a profit to be made.
Well, not only that, but, the whole deal to sell that idea was the revenue the state would generate. And, of course, we're almost 10 years into this. And guess what we find out? No, that's not true. And, yes, they're generating some revenue. But the people that are doing it, running the shops, they don't have bank accounts because it's a federal crime to do it. Mm-hmm. So they can't use the banking system. Then second to that is that all the drug runners out there just reduce their price and supply and demand. Our supply is better and it's cheaper.
It
didn't do anything.
Yeah, I can throw in some cocaine with it, whatever. So
exactly.
How much is being spent on the program? $30 million from what that's the common thing thrown out, I guess. $30 million. So.
But I've looked at Human Health and Services and other programs in the state, like Medicare and other for, you know, alcoholism, drug abuse. And, you know, there's like $500 million out there that the U.S. government has allocated to help this issue. Yeah. And it's helping it accelerate. That's what it's doing.
Yeah. I don't know. I can, excuse me.
Me too.
Yeah. I can see this. you get your smoking kit package.
That's
and
right.
The streets are strewn with the empty boxes and the,
more garbage, baby.
The swabs and the, you know, the rubber tips and everything. I don't like using those. So there we are.
Yeah, and you know, your spoon and your free Bic. You know, it's one of these things that you look at and you see that people will self-identify right away because, you know, it's instead of a handy pack, right, that men wear around their waist, they'll be wearing their handy drug pack around their waist, right?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, I just put tape it to my belt and I got I got a zipper pocket right here.
Yeah. Oh, you need a rubber tip, here's mine, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
That's where I see this going, unless you're sitting in a classroom like kids with a teacher saying, "Don't share that."
You know. Yeah, that's right.
I don't know.
And that becomes the entire problem.
Yeah.
As you move through this issue, and it's such a sad thing, because for most Americans, from what you've seen, not a lot, but what you've seen or heard, to see a city like San Francisco, Detroit, Baltimore, Atlanta, Chicago, Washington, Seattle, Portland, to fall into this disarray darkness, to such beautiful places. I mean, these were crown jewels in the world.
Yeah.
Crown jewel cities.
Look at them now. Yeah.
You don't have this problem in any city in China or Singapore.
Well, nope. A blast from my birthplace, Donna. Hello, Donna. Glad to have you along with us. I'm back there in good old Illinois. Appreciate you stopping in, and always nice to hear from you. Well, I don't know. I don't know if we solve this problem, but I have little confidence that this is going to make anybody healthier, Shane, or keep anybody safer. Or is this what happens when the 30 million runs out? Is it it's a grant, so
they'll write a report, and then it'll go to committees in Congress, and they'll have a commission to talk about it. And then, you know, they'll end up spending more than the 30 million on the review and the conferences and the committee. This is a money train.
Yeah.
Create a problem. Tell the country you're going to solve it. Throw some money at it. And here we go. Plane, trains, restaurants, hotels. We get it all. And, you know, we also get to travel and make points, because we get to keep our
that's
points.
That's right. Yeah.
They get to keep their points.
Yeah. I was going to say, the government's really good at allocating money for all sorts of stuff, but they're really bad about watching it and making sure that the results that are expected from the money happens.
That's right.
And that just doesn't fly.
How do you measure this? What kind of results are there? Are they looking for more people on drugs? I don't see any other results.
Yeah. No, I don't either. I mean, you're just enabling people who the last thing they need is to be enabled.
And in a state like California, you've got, oh boy, I got to be so happy. This is now going to draw. We're losing millions of people to Texas and Florida or other states because of the way it's run. And we're going to end up with maybe another 100, 200,000 people here because of, you know, this endorsement.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sucks. It's pretty bad.
Yes, it is bad. Hey, if you're joining us on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe, ring the notification bell, like us, leave a comment. YouTube likes that kind of stuff. They also like comments on Facebook as well. So that's some of the things they look at. And also, we're brought to you by StreamYard. That's how we produce these programs. They've got a free version of this, and it's the link's in the description below. And if you'd like to support the show monetarily, there are some benefits for doing that. And there's a link in the YouTube description below and also on our replay page on our website. So by all means, check all that stuff out. So yeah. Linda says, another example of government wasting money. Amen, Linda. That's an accurate statement if I ever heard one.
100%, baby.
Man, that's not good. Well, I don't know. Anyway, coming up on our radio show, we're live on radio every Saturday at 8 to 11. So we hope that you'll join us there. All you got to do is go to KMMSAM.com, click listen now. That's all there is to it. No, you don't have to sign in. You don't have to leave any information, no emails, no joining. None of that. None of that is it will happen to you. And so we would appreciate that. Some of the things we're going to talk about on the radio, we're going to talk about, well, Democrats are walking back to defund the police. Biden's approval rating below 40 across the board. We got to talk about the truckers in Canada. And boy, there's Pelosi wants stock trading banned, Shane. So we're going to be talking about that on Saturday as well. So we got a lot to do there. So if you read the crawl at the bottom of the screen, I'll give you all the details. KMMSAM.com, click listen now. You can hear us anywhere in the world. And we hope that you will do that. So by all means. So, all right, Shane, any final thoughts here before we bail?
Just be happy, be safe, live in the moment, live to work. And when you come home with a smile on your face. That's the way your family wants to see you when you come through the front door.
Amen to that. Okay. All right, that's going to wrap it up for us. Hey, don't forget to subscribe, like us. And we are on radio on Saturday, 8 to 11. KMMSAM.com, and we'll be back with another podcast on Tuesday, 10 a.m. Mountain Time. Until then, we will see you down the road. Thanks for watching.